From Islamic Finance News, the world's leading Islamic finance news provider, this is IFN Podcast.
Welcome to IFN Podcast. I am Nisreen, the news editor of Islamic Finance News, or IFN, and your host for this episode. Joining me is Munira Khairuddin, the country head and CEO of Principal Asset Management Malaysia, an asset management solutions provider with Sharia compliant or Islamic offerings. Thank you so much for being here today, Munira.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Nasreen and IFN.
So now that digital investing is gaining a lot of popularity, what can you tell us about the market, both in Malaysia and around the region, in terms of what is available for investors?
Okay, so I think it's two parts to that question. One is digital investing, and another is Islamic investing. Islamic investing on digital investing. So I think we need to be conscious of the market that we are serving. So the investment world in Asia is still very much skewed to either, you know, the segment of affluent, mass affluent, and high net worth. That's still a very much traditional intermediary, mm-hmm. whether you go through a banking platform or you have a relationship manager. But what we're seeing is a nascent growth, in fact, a very strong nascent growth into digital investing. And this has been the case because, you know, in the investment world, financial markets have gone through quite a cycle in this last couple of years, and markets have been volatile. So for investors who are not very savvy or probably a bit confused with market volatility and movement, this is hard to chew. And therefore, what digital platforms have offered, such as, you know, goal-based, robo-advisory, portfolio management, it has somewhat alleviated those concerns, and that we will help to do for you, right? So we experimented with a partnership with our partner, is the largest e-wallet in Malaysia, in 2021, and said, you know, we want to serve many investors, especially the young people, 35 and below, who probably, you know, are not yet in the preferred customer or private banking category, but are realizing the need for investments. Mm-hmm. And we took that approach step by step, and what we saw, and it's fully Sharia compliant when we started, which is you know, a money market fund, a savings tool, and you could see that actually the appetite was very strong. We've amassed about 3 million customers, and people have embraced the ease of transaction, the ease of access, and just the ability to control and to dictate what your preferences are. So I think it's an exciting journey.
Right. And connected to that, I wanted to ask also about traditional investors. I mean, yes, I get it. These are young people. These are probably investors that are new to the game, so to speak. What about traditional investing? Has that been affected much by this, you know, change?
You mean change in the digital landscape?
Yes.
Okay. So I think digital, it's a very big word. And the ability to do online transaction is a hygiene. So whether you're a traditional investor or a young investor, it's a hygiene. And when we're talking about digital investment, we're talking more about, you know, having a conversation with a customer digitally without an intermediation. So I think the traditional channels are embracing, you know, it's evolving itself into also a hybrid digital journey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we have a large intermediary business and a, you know, advisor led business, and what we see is that the basic kind of like, you know, transaction viewing where you stand, what are the options available, could be done very directly through, you know, just a digital means on your handphone or, you know, on smartphone. But when you start to go a bit deeper into, hey, what kind of financial planning do I want? You know, how much do I set aside for, you know, many goals? How do I balance my tax? So those kind of things, when it gets a little bit more dialed up in complexity, we find having an advisor helps. So it's a tagline that we call online to offline. And most channels have started to go on that way.
So we are also hearing from market players that there is room for improvement when it comes to Islamic finance jurisdictions that lean on tech-enabled financial systems, you know, for the purposes of their financial inclusion objectives to be met. I'd like your thoughts on how this could be done. What could we do to maybe close that gap, if there is one?
Yeah, part of my role, Nasreen, I also head the Global Sharia for Principle. And, you know, we've got clients globally. And I was, I'll take a market, for example, I was in the UK recently. We've got funds registered for Europe on our UCITS platform. So we do have customers in Europe. And like the UK, for example, right? It's most transactions these days are on digital banks. So you have the young one, especially going to digital bank and less than the brick and mortar type of branches. And just talking to the fintech world in London, right? In London, in Birmingham, in Manchester, you could see that, as I mentioned, digital enabled platforms are hygiene these days. But where we find is that the lack of offering. So the markets that's really quite interesting is like the UK, parts of Europe. There's a growing, you know, faith-based Muslim population, and just not enough products. And then however, some platforms we're starting to see even putting on like private equity type of offering. So I think in a more developed financial centers like the UK, you know, the financial product itself is not complicated, but just the availability of, you know, of Sharia funds is very limited, right? A very limited Sharia funds in, say, you know, savings ISAs or UK SIPs, very limited approved products on the shelf. So then another development, if you go to Middle East, right, we're starting to see, it is still a preferred intermediary kind of segment, but we're starting to see, you know, again, digital is becoming a hygiene. So we're starting to see, you know, demand sprouting out on that kind of platform.
Right. That actually partly answers my next question, which is, what trends are you excited to see, or maybe that you can predict in the coming year, maybe for the industry that you serve, the markets that you serve? It could be regional or internationally.
Sure. So I think I am excited with the possibility of Sharia compliant offering. Technically, many of the products that's available, whether it's a public markets or private markets, there's less, you know, encumbrance to making it a Sharia compliant product. So I'm very excited because the financial markets, just like, you know, your healthcare, right? You know, medical sciences is so advanced, and financial markets are very advanced. So many market players have starting to look into this opportunity to be more inclusive, and whatever that you have on a conventional, often we can have a similar solution in Sharia. Of course, you know, you can't go into the usual prohibition segments, but the innovation to Sharia compliant investments is what I'm most excited about in both public and private markets. And actually, the exclusion of certain areas, you know, have proven that lends that superior for Sharia compliant investments. So Sharia compliant investments are not worse off, and in some cases are better off in certain market cycles and certain sectors. So I'm very upbeat about the innovation in the investment and product space for Sharia compliant products, but also taking this to a more, bringing it down the curve to not just limiting it to institutions, but also to, you know, retail investors. And what better way to do that than on a digital platform?
Right. Well, my final question is about Principle. What can we expect? What can our listeners and our readers expect from Principle in the coming 12 to 18 months obviously in terms of Islamic products and services, what can you share with us that we can be excited about?
Yeah, we're very excited about our offering. So on our UCITS platform, which is in Dublin, you know, we've got some really interesting funds. We've got Islamic Global Multi-Asset, Islamic Global Responsibility, and other traditional offerings like Global Sukuk, etc. But, you know, the two new categories that I'm really upbeat about is Islamic Global Multi-Asset and Islamic Global Responsibility Fund. We are traditionally more of an institutional house in the Sharia space, but we're so excited to start to offer this to the public, right, to individuals. And so that is on a global basis. And we're starting to see really good demand and interest from the UK, from Middle East, but closer to home, right? The ability to offer this across the region is very exciting. And Malaysia is ahead, but we're starting to see investors in Singapore, in Indonesia, in Brunei, because of the you know comparable track record, and even you know certain cycles, as I mentioned, we've proven to do really well, and just the scarcity of such offering, you know, plays a role. So I think you know we're very upbeat about this. And then on the more retail side, right, like our digital platform, we're thinking of, you know, unlocking this potential through very simple saving tools, investment kind of ideas, goal based. And I think we'll get there. Very exciting indeed.
Excellent. Thank you so much for sharing that. Well, I'd like to know if there's anything else that you wanted to add.
Yeah, I do want to just maybe one more topic about sustainability.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm a big fan of this. And the Sharia compliant investments are actually, you know, very aligned to sustainability goals, right? To the UN SDG goals. It's very aligned. But we don't talk too much about it, or the industry doesn't talk too much about it. But I seriously do think that there is, you know, there's a lot of runway for Islamic products to thrive in that ESG and sustainability pathway. Because to begin with, Sharia compliant investments are based on fundamentals, right? And working on, you know, taking care of nature and human well-being, you know, on all those governance. So it's all already embedded. And so I'm quite excited again to be, you know, going for this kind of thematics, if you like. But I do believe in the future, sustainability and Islamic is indeed a circular trend, and it's not just a flavor of the month. So I see a lot of runway in this, because increasingly investors, retail and institutions are becoming more responsible and really want to know where they're investing in, you know, where they have strong beliefs against investing in. So I'm really also optimistic about the sustainability angle in Sharia compliant funds.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've seen COP28 just finished, and you know, a lot of Islamic financial institutions have been talking about this, you know, obviously for the last couple of years. But there is also talk about there not being any real results from any of these discussions. What are your thoughts on that? How can we make this a reality?
Yeah, I think it takes a few building blocks. So from an investment vehicle perspective, let's just talk about green sukuk, right? Really, it takes an ecosystem, right? And when an issuer launches a green sukuk, you know, it's very easy for them not to want to do green, because there will be the scarcity in supply will ensure anyway the sukuk will be taken up. But increasingly, right, where we build investors who care about this, and it should start and can start with institutional investors, you know, demanding things to be, and increasingly, right, global sovereign wealth funds are putting a foot down. In fact, Malaysian institutional investors have a very steep target, right, net neutral by 2030 and net zero by 2050. So just the assertion of investment objectives and pressure will, I think, eventually lead to issuers coming up with more green sukuk. Okay. And then investment products, right? Like equities, for example, equity funds. Like I mentioned about us launching Islamic Global Responsibility Equity Fund. And the truth is, you know, the ESG world, the conventional ESG world is growing very fast. It's a matter of time that pure Sharia compliant investors will demand of such. So again, you know, it takes an entire world, entire village to want to create this demand and assert this pressure on issuers and companies to step up on the green agenda. And then when you slap a Sharia filter to it, it's even more tighter. So I'm optimistic because the demand on Sharia investing has increased and the demand for sustainable investment has increased. When you overlap that, maybe it'll take slightly longer than the conventional ESG. But when you slap that across, I think it's a circular trend that if you're a company or you're an issuer, if you want to ignore it now, you're just going to be left behind. So you need to get on that bandwagon and you know, like a FOMO, right? Fear of missing out. And I think that trend is increasingly true because you want to tap funding resource. And if you're not on the ESG journey, I think you will be defunct in the near future.
Right. Yes, I hear you. That's great. Well, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. We certainly look forward to hearing more from Principal. Thank you again for joining us. It's been a pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you, Nasreen.
Thank you for listening. For more discussions on the Islamic finance industry, log on to www.islamicfinancenews.com. You can also listen to IFN Podcast on your favorite platforms, including iTunes and Spotify.